Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
So we have went through several Sundays on gospel exalting qualifications for elders. I believe the Lord also gave us verses 8 through 13, the second office. There are only two offices in the church, that of the elders and that of the deacons, so that we might know who should serve as deacons in the church, that the church might be shaped by the way the Lord wants the church to be. The church is not your ordinary organizations or clubs. We can shape it the way we want to shape it. We cannot make it or turn it into a corporation where there are board of trustees in the church. The church is the Lord, and only Him has the right to shape the church the way He wants the church to be shaped. And one of the offices that he wants the church to have is the office of the deacon. So this is very, very important. It is as important as the pastors, the elders, the overseers, is the office of the deacon, right? And it is quite tricky when we think about deacons. As I've said already, deacon is just simply servants. And that's for the reason why there are women in the church, like Phoebe, who is called servant, and everybody said that Phoebe was a deacon because he was called a servant, Phoebe a servant. But a deacon at the time, a servant, when it is being used in the scripture, it is not all the time referred to an office. Because all of us can be called deacon in a sense, because we are all servants, just the same word. But having said that one, as we look into the deacon and we understand service, Acts chapter 6, if you look at the deacons, they waited on tables. They served tables. And many times deacons will be the one to help the poor. These are the works of the deacons in the church. And other quote-unquote, I don't know why we call it menial task, when, you know, we are called servants. And the tricky part of it is we often entertain the thought that if you just want to serve, what qualification do I need to have? We might have heard this question. What qualification do you need if you just want to serve? Right? It's as if saying, if you just want to serve on menial task, it's okay. You will not be measured highly. And sometimes deacons are like that. They can serve as deacons, but there is not much expectations. There is a danger in that kind of thinking, right? That there is, that one does not need much to serve. There's truth in it. There's a grain of truth in it. If you want to serve, then why do you need much? You just want to serve. But there's more danger to it. When I say there is more danger to it, what I mean by that is that we can begin to think that we can live like the rest of the world. Because anyway, I just welcome people in church. We can live in any way we want because I am just serving as, you know, the ones on the technical. Isn't it dangerous? And so we want to delve today particularly on deacons. We want to start this study this morning. And I want to give us general ideas of deacons. So because the church, by the way, is committed. supposedly, we are committed not only for spiritual things, but we are also committed for physical things. We see that in the book of Acts. The apostles, yes, of course, they refused to wait on tables. But they did not say that to wait on tables, to serve the widows with food, is not important. They knew it was important. It was just not their role. And so they raised up deacons. So the church should serve both physical, at least if kaya po ng church, and spiritual. The work of the deacon then is indispensable, right? It is indispensable. It cannot be that the church is without a deacon or is without the office of deacons. As I have said, the word deacon itself means servants. Particularly, they are the ones, kasi pwede naman natin sabihin, nagpipreach ka, nagsiserve ka rin naman. Right? But particularly the ones who finds joy in meeting the physical needs around them. They are the ones who are as passionate as the pastors in doing what they love to do. Just as the pastors and the elders are passionate in preaching. They wanted to take the lead in meeting the needs of the poor in the church and outside the church. And during the pandemic, I came to understand the need for deacons because sometimes I am already confused if I'm a pastor or if I'm a deacon. Or particularly during the pandemic, if I'm a pastor or I'm a doctor. Everyone were given the right to prescribe drugs during the pandemic. Those are supposed to be the work of a deacon in the church. Now, notice carefully that in Acts chapter 6, I really believe, again, the deacons were as passionate in serving the tables as the elders in preaching the word and prayer. They have different focus. They have different focus, but they have the same level of passion. They have the same level of passion. I wonder how strong a church our church might be, how strong a church we can be if we are equally passionate, although we differ in roles. Think about it. If we prepare for the things that we do to serve the church, if we give thought, if we are that passionate, although we differ in roles, imagine how strong a church we can be. When we do not take lightly what is assigned to us. Because whatever these things might be, listen, they are all for the work of the gospel. In the book of Acts, you understand that serving on tables is under the big umbrella. And the big umbrella is the spread of the gospel. And the disciples and the other people there cannot say that the work of the gospel is the preaching and teaching and serving on tables is not part of the work of the gospel. The serving on tables there is part of the big umbrella of spreading the gospel. In other words, we can all be passionate in what we do because we are all serving for the cause of the gospel. Paul is talking about deacon here in our passage who served well. Look at verse 13. You who served well, or the deacons who served well. He's talking about who are those who served well, because deacon by itself means serving. But the preceding verses, yung mga nauna po sa verse 13, actually talk about their faith and character instead of their service. So he said, those who served Lord, the deacons who served well, he should have said, those who never neglect their work, those who always see to it that the deeds of the people are met. He was not talking about their service itself. He was talking about their character and their understanding of the gospel. And then the rest of verse 13 gives us the reason. They have to serve in this way, in character and faith, because he said, because this would result to their good standing or a good testimony. and building their own confidence in the faith. According to Philip Ryken, let me just quote him. The virtues listed here have little to do with talents and abilities. They are not the kinds of credentials that show up on most resumes. Instead, the biblical qualifications have to do with persons' morals. God is more concerned with who deacons are than what they do. God is more concerned than of who deacons are than what they do. Well, they hold an office. Deacons are basically servants, right? Yet, when it comes to their faith and character, Paul basically held them to that same standard of faith and character of the elders. Those are, as Paul said, deacons who served well. But don't think about, if you think, have I served well? Well, we are pragmatic people. Right? As pragmatic people, we right away say, oh, what is the measurable result? The tangible result. We are so result-oriented. We are living in a world that is very pragmatic. And we gauge a person in accordance to what he has accomplished. Now, what a different lens that Paul used. He said, deacons who served well are those who lived well. And those who are deep in their understanding of the gospel. Here's my main idea this morning. Deacons who have served well are those who have a good and well-rounded testimony of their faith in the gospel to the church and their community. Deacons who have served well are those who have good and well-rounded testimonies of their faith in the gospel to the church and their community. Now, we will look at two things today. Supposedly, in this sermon, but today is part one. I was so ambitious, and then I have to cut it into two, and then let's see next week if it will become three parts. One pertains to the maturity and stability of the faith of the deacon, which I will only reach until verse 10 today. And for the reason, verse 11 talks about their wives, and the controversy is in the text. Because it is in the text that one decides whether there is deaconesses in the church or only male deacons. And so we will be spending more time on verse 11 next week. So today we'll reach only verse 10, half of point one. And the second, supposedly, is the purpose of this qualification of the deacons, that is, good testimony of their faith in the gospel. The first one answers the what, the second one answers the why. What are the qualifications of the deacon? And then the second one is, why are these the qualifications of deacons? So today we'll focus on half of point number one. Deacons are mature and strong in the faith. That's what we get in verses 8 to 12. They are mature and strong in the faith, contrary to our thinking that anyone can just serve regardless of how they live their lives. Very important for all of us, not just deacons, for all of us, that we are mature and strong in the faith. We'll unpack this into five things. We look at the first one, the deacons are dignified. Now, deacons are dignified. Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for this honest gain. It seemed to be that the deacons are known for their self-control. Deacons are known for something. And definitely they should not be known as double-tongued, addicted to wine, and for this honest gain. Dignified. We already touched on this when we were studying the qualifications of an elder. Dignified really means reverent or honorable. Honorable Japhet Kutamora. When we say that one, we know that we have high respect on these people. It is the same word as dignitaries. And we know what dignitaries are. You know, they are people whom common people like us would look up. Right? They are looked up to and respected by common people. Yes, deacons are servants. Don't get me wrong. Deacons are servants, and servants are being looked down in this world, but it is not the case in the kingdom of God. Now, we're beginning to see that we cannot look down the office of the deacon, because in the kingdom of God, those who serve, those who want to be great in the kingdom of God, should be the servant of all. Should be the servant of all. So first thing we need to understand, we are not of this world. We are not serving this world. We are serving in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, those who are serving, they are the ones who are great in the kingdom of God. So in the church, deacons should be looked up to. They should be dignified. They should be respected. Deacons should be highly esteemed in the church. They are to be highly respected. In fact, the more they go low in serving others, the more they should be respected. Okay. Part of our birth pains. For whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Yes, so yes, deacons should be highly respected for their servanthood. But respectable deacons, or for this matter, all of us who are serving, respectable servants, respectable deacons should be known for their great self-control. Should be known for their great self-control. Paul here mentions three areas where any Christians would have a hard time controlling unless a Christian truly become mature, isn't it? That they learn to be self-controlled in relation to words, in relation to wine, and in relation to wealth. Easy to recall? Three W's that you have to learn how to control yourself in relation to words, in relation to wine, and in relation to wealth. Three areas that deacons should display self-control if they are to be worthy of respect. If we are to be worthy of respect. In relation to words, Paul said that deacons should not be double-tongued. To be double-tongued is to be insincere. That's basically what double-tongued means. It means saying one thing to one person, and then when you're talking to another person, you're saying another thing. Or you would say one thing and then do another thing. A deacon should not be double-tongued, meaning they are sincere with their words. They are trustworthy. And can you sense that Paul is painting a picture here of someone who really is mature? Because James told us in James chapter 3 that no human being can tame the tongue. It is hard to control. Hard to control. Pag na-excite tayo, diba? Kung ano-ano na sinasabi natin. Bawiin na lang later. Hard to control. Deacons should be so prudent. The picture behind this is deacons have developed prudence so that they think to make sure of what they are about to say before they speak, before they say a word. And they only seek to speak that which they find as right and are committed to doing. Philip Ryken commented, "The word of a deacon ought to be one of the strongest guarantees in the church. People both inside and outside the church must be able to take deacons at their word. They must be able to take deacons at their word." In other words, deacons have prudence and self-control to only say what they mean so that they are trustworthy. One of the things that is quite frustrating, isn't it? Quite frustrating is when one gives you his word, but then you find out that he did not do a thing. In other words, that person is not dependable. He's not dependable. Deacon should be dependable. When he gives his word, you can sleep well at night because you know that that person is dependable. You know that that person is trustworthy. If he says a thing, he will commit himself to doing that one. That's a picture of a deacon in the church. Supposedly, again, we are supposed to grow in this area. Next, Paul said they should display self-control in relation to wine. Paglasinggero pa tayo, hindi pa tayo deacon. You know, in relation to wine. Deacons should not be addicted to much wine, Paul said. Now, actually, the word addicted in the original is not there. It actually just says not much wine. Not much wine. However, one who engages in much wine is clearly bowing down to its addicting property. Diba? Yung wine is addictive. And according to Paul, it leads to debauchery, to losing your control. That's for the reason why nalalasing po tayo, kasi isang shot lang sana yun. No. A person who engages in much wine then is addicted to it. He is controlled by wine. But deacons are self-controlled who might drink wine. So we've grown as a church because before we get stumbled when we see somebody drinking a wine, but we clearly understand from Scripture that drinking a wine is not prohibited. I cannot say less than what the Scripture says, and I cannot also say more than what the Scripture says. What the Scripture says is that we could not be addicted to wine, but it did not say, let's stay away from wine. How can you control it when you are staying away from it? Now, I'm not saying draw near there. If you're not drinking wine, you're okay. Don't start. But the Scripture would not make sense if it say, do not be controlled by wine, if in the first place, the preconceived idea is that wine is evil. It is not. It is not. But deacons are self-controlled people who might drink wine, but in relation to what wine is for. In relation to what wine is for. In one instance, Paul had to tell Timothy that wine can help out in your stomach upset, and you can drink it. And obviously, during the wedding of Jesus, socially they drank wine, because it was a symbol at the time of celebration, and in fact, in the time as respect to your visitors. Right? It was an insult. Buti pang walang lechon, basta may wine. It was their culture, socially. Or for medication, or for digestion. I understand some of us have a problem with digestion. And sometimes we drink a little wine for a good digestion. elders know what wine is for, and they used it for the purpose, for its purpose, and not beyond it. If you are empty and bored, and you just want to be happy and drink wine, that is not what wine is for. That's exactly why people fall into drunkenness, because they draw from it their joy that is they're supposed to get from Christ. You're using wine not for its purpose. So as far as Scripture is concerned, it should never be used to drown yourself from problem or for, you know, may problema ako, iinom ako. If commercials mean that those who drink should not drive or do something crazy when one is drunk, when they said drink responsibly. What they mean by that, drink responsibly, is when you drink, just don't drive. You can be drunk, but don't drive. But that's not what we mean by that. They also said, drink responsibly. When you get drunk, just go to sleep. Don't go get some fight. That's not drinking responsibly, biblically. Drinking responsibly to mean a little only, so as to make sure that they are far from being controlled by it. Now, these qualification that Paul gave here is in the context of a greater work of the deacon or an elder. For deacons, it is not simply about how much wine they drink. It is about keeping our sobriety. Like the elders, we have to be sober at all times. They make sure that they always think clearly. Think about it. You are called to wait on tables, but you are drunk. Maybe you'll dunk on tables. Deacons, like elders, would have to decide things. And if you will decide things, you have to do it rightly at all times. So in relation to their use of words, diba, kung meron kang prudence, pag nalasing ka na, wala na. Wala na yung prudence. Wala na yung control of words. So in relation to the first one, you cannot drink too much wine because you will lose the first one, you will lose the second one, you lose everything. Lose everything. So if I get to visit you in your house and it was on time that you sip a wine, it's okay. But when you say, "Shot, Pastor," it is for this reason that deacons should be cautious, extra cautious in the use of wine. But let me give you a sidebar and a balance. If you do not like it, remain that way. It's fine. It's okay. Just because the Bible does not say you cannot drink wine does not mean you have to drink wine. Right? Does not mean you have to drink wine. It's okay. Better not. Better not drink. Thirdly, Paul said that they should have self-control in relation to wealth. In relation to wealth. Paul said deacons are not greedy for this honest gain. They are not greedy for this honest gain. In Acts chapter 6, when deacons would have to take charge for feeding the widows, which clearly involved the use of money. Clearly involved the use of money and resources. Deacons should be able to use money for the intended purpose that it is entrusted to them. Right? It is entrusted to them. Clearly, this honest gain here points to using the money entrusted to them for themselves instead of the service they were tasked to provide, which is for the most part, by the way, to help the poor. Imagine if the apostles were saying, why, is it that the widows did not have any breakfast yesterday? And it was because the deacon kept the money. They were entrusted with money. And they could not be greedy for gain. When one falls to this honest gain, indeed, wala mang sinabi ditong love for money, but when one falls to this honest gain, it clearly shows that one loves money. Actually, the original simply says, not gain. Not gain. Deacons are to be dignified, not gain. That's what it says. And I like that. It's very straightforward. Because deacons, there's a play of words. Deacons are serving others, not gaining from others. He is respectable. He is dignified when he is known for giving to others instead of exacting from others. Deacons are to serve and not to gain. So deacons are not preoccupied. What fills their mind is not how to have more for themselves, but how to serve people with what he has or what the church has. Deacons should reach the point where it does not mean he does not want money, but he is excited because if the Lord blesses him, his heart is really to help. He's excited to help people. We all serve, but I think deacons have extraordinary heart to serve. Extraordinary heart to be with the poor. Extraordinary heart to those who experience tragedy. And if we have this, maybe we're called as deacons. The church need you. The church need you so that the church can do the work of charity. So at the end, he just wants to make sure that help is given to those who need it. That's a deacon. Help is given to those who need it. Deacons love people, not money. Deacons love people, not money. It is for this reason that our translation says, not greedy for this honest gain. No, not greedy for this honest gain. So we understand here in the first qualification that Paul said, deacons have gained the respect of the church because of the great self-control that they display in areas that immature people might have a hard time. In the area of words, in the area of wine, and in the area of wealth. They are not known for being double-tongued. They are not known for being insincere in their words. They are not known for being a drunkard. They are not known for their love for money. They are not known for their love. They are known for their love for people, so that their use of words, their use of wine, and their use of wealth are all geared towards making sure that they always do what is good for others. Always geared towards meeting the needs of others. That's a deacon. Isn't it? Think about it. If you think of people who are like that in the church and they're known for it, this person would rather use his money if he sees needs. Would rather use his money to meet needs instead of buy a lot of wine for himself. They are the people whom we respect, isn't it? They are dignified. Deacons should be like this. Deacons should love people so that they exhibit self-control in their use of things. Deacons are dignified, right? Look on around us, who are the people who have gained our respect because of their great self-control. Secondly, deacons should also be certain of the truth. Deacons should be certain of the gospel. So the second thing that we find here is that deacons have strong faith. They have strong faith. There has been much expectations from the elders to have a deep understanding of the faith, and rightly so. But a lot of time, there is not the same expectation from the deacons. Why would one need a deep understanding of the faith when he is arranging chairs? After all, di ba? Parang sa isip natin, kapag nag-arrange lang naman ako ng chair, ano bang theology kailangan dito? Kailangan ko ba na deep theology para mag-arrange ng chairs? That's what we say. But that's not how Paul thinks. That's not how Scripture thinks. Kaya ka nag-arrange ng chairs because you have a deep understanding of the gospel, actually. And that's why you put up all these things on Sunday, because you have a deep understanding of the gospel. The reason why you serve people outside, because you have a deep understanding of the gospel. Our understanding of the gospel is the foundation of our service to the Lord. But Paul said in verse 9, referring to deacons, they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Again, in Acts chapter 6, serving the widows is in the context of the work of the gospel. The book of Acts is not about serving tables. It is about the spread of the gospel. Thus, deacons are workers of the gospel. Are you surprised that they were deacons? They were supposed to feed on tables. But when you get to Acts chapter 7, have you read the preaching of Stephen? Have you seen his profound understanding of the Old Testament and what the Old Testament is all about? Have you read of Philip, who was around, all around Acts chapter 8, preaching the gospel? They are two of the deacons that we find in Acts chapter 6. In other words, deacons are workers of the gospel. They should know the gospel. They should know the gospel. The mystery here does not mean that part of the gospel that are rather mysterious. The deacons are not the ones who says, I am the one who knows the mysterious part of the gospel. That's not how Paul used the word mystery. The word mystery is also used in verse 16, by the way, of chapter 3. And yet Paul, instead of talking about mysterious things, have you noticed in verse 16, Paul talked about the clear truths of the gospel. God made flesh, resurrected from the dead, witnessed by messengers, proclaimed to the nations, believed by the word, by the world, and will one day come and display the fullness of his glory. And he called it the mystery of godliness. In other words, the mystery is what appears to be secret in the past, but now has been revealed in Christ Jesus. The mystery is the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the faith is the clear truths of the gospel. In other words, deacons should have no doubt of the truths of the gospel. People are still doubting what the gospel is. Kahit gaano natin kagusto mag-serve as deacons, you are not ready for that. In other words, deacons must be certain of the truths of the gospel. The expression, with a clear conscience. Deacons hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Clear conscience. We touched on this when we were talking about elders. And clear conscience means, or Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, to mean they as workers have a clear conscience. When do we use the word, my conscience is clear? When do you say, I know my... It is when you really know what happened and you are not lying, right? You are clear of the truth. You are clear of what happened and you say, my conscience is clear. I did not do it to do this. You know your heart. This is it. With a clear conscience, in other words, They hold the mystery of the gospel with clarity of understanding to the point that they do not have any doubt at all of the gospel, so that when they share the gospel to other people, they'll share it with a clear conscience. I was with Sheena and Joshua yesterday, and we're talking about the gospel. And I have no qualms or anything when I said, you are not just a sinner. You did not just sin against God. I'm pretty sure you are dead in your sin. And I have no, I said it with a clear conscience, because I fully understand that we are dead in sin. And that means the only ability that we have apart from Jesus Christ is to sin. That's the only ability that we have. We always choose ourselves. When we want one thing, but God wants another thing, our sinfulness means I would choose what I want, not what God wants. We're undead in sin. I said it with a clear conscience. And this is it. The deacons knew the gospel very well. With a clear conscience, with a deep understanding and clarity of mind, that this is what the scripture teaches when it comes to the faith. So deacons have the truths, knows the truths of the gospel deeply. It is for this reason that people could not withstand Stephen. They were arguing Stephen, but they could not withstand him. According to Acts chapter 6, verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. Yes, deacons are serving the physical needs of the people. But far from the thinking that they do not need to be theologically informed, they can be deepest in theology in the church. That's why we ask our elders to join our Saturday discipleship. We join the elders to be and the deacons to be, because we understand the only difference between the elders and the deacons is their gifting. But as their understanding is concerned, it should be the same. Should be the same. So they might not be able to teach as clearly as the elders, but they should be as deep as they are. The mystery of the gospel is so clear to them so that they are not at all bothered by any criticism about the gospel. And it is because their understanding of the gospel has reached a certain confidence that their conscience is very clear about it. This is the problem with most churches, even our church sometimes, isn't it? Some would love to serve, but they have no interest in theology. No interest in theology. Well, they might think, I'm not going to teach. I just want to serve on physical things. Why do I need to study theology? Well, here's the good news. You can serve. If that's your thinking, you're a Christian, that's your thinking, you can serve, but not as a deacon. Because deacons have a strong understanding of the gospel. I know someone, I'm so blessed with this person who has a clear conviction that he does not want to preach in the pulpit. He said he is a deacon to be. He is an elder in deacon in training in their church. I just bought a set of books from him. But he might, if you talk to him, you will notice he will be so passionate to know the truth. And you would think, for what? You don't want to teach. So I can serve people. Do you see the connection of this? Why we could not mellow down theology. He understands that yes, deacons will primarily serve in physical things, but he also understands that he has to be theologically deep. Generally speaking, is it not good from our connection team to the technical team, to the setup team, to the promo team, to the worship team, to the children's teacher, to the deacons, to the elders, Isn't it good that we all know the gospel so well? Yes, we want to be known as servants. I hope we want to be known as servants. Jesus was known as a servant. But we have to be known as a peculiar servant. There's uniqueness. There's something that we are known for. A peculiarity. We are servants, but we also want to be known as servants who are deep in our understanding of the word. Servants who are deep in our understanding of the word. Deacons should be champions in serving, but they should also be champions in theology. So they are strong in the faith. Lastly, for today at least, deacons are proven blameless. Deacons are proven blameless. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it reads, if deacons are to be tested first, listen, sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and let them also be tested first. It follows after the elders who are to be tested. And then Paul said here, let them also together with the elders be tested first. Then, only and only then, let them serve as deacons. If after testing, they prove themselves blameless. If deacons are to be tested, if they are truly blameless, then let me say this one. While deaconship is about serving, and every one of us can serve for sure, deaconship is a formal office in the church. Well, why would they be tested if you will just serve, right? It's a formal office. It is one of the only two offices that the scripture mentioned, office of the elders, and yes, office of the deacons. However, while it is an office, it is not a ruling office. It is not a ruling office like that of an elder, to which Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elder who rule, right? Never that you find in the New Testament that says, let the deacons who rule, let the deacons who serve. But when it comes to the elders, let the elders who rule. So it is not a ruling office, but a serving office. It is a serving office. It might carry a sort of authority, I really believe. They do not decide for the church, but it carry a sort of authority because it is only when they have that sort of authority to organize things that they can organize things. I don't believe in Acts chapter 6 where there are thousands of people in Jerusalem that only the seven served the widows. Right? I don't believe. You're the deacons. We are just sitting down. Let the deacons serve. You know? I don't believe. They were the ones organizing to make sure that every widows are fed. And if they are the ones organizing and mobilizing the rest of the church so that everyone will have what they need, then there is some sort of authority given to the deacons, but it is not a deciding authority in the church. It is organizing so that everyone, or there is an organized service. Nonetheless, again, they are not deciding for the church, but implementing whatever has been decided by the elders. But again, they are not just generically serving like all of us. They hold an office. It is the office of deacons. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Look at what it says. Therefore, brothers, pick out among you seven men of good repute. Pati hindi na lang lahat. Full of spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint. Look at the word appoint to this duty. In other words, it is an office. Not all will be deacons. there are those who are full of spirit and of good repute that can serve as deacons in the church. Again, it is clear that not all can be deacons unless they prove themselves to fit in character and giftedness. It is only when they are proven to have these qualifications, and for Paul, particularly their blamelessness. Paul is concerned of their blamelessness. Let them be tested, and if they are proven blameless, then let them serve as deacons. We already noted in our study of the qualification of the elders that being blameless means above, being above reproach. Or sa atin po, wala tayong ma, ano ba yan? Walang mapupuna? Mas heavy, mabigat. Mapupulaan, hindi tayo mapupulaan. No? To be blameless means that there should nothing in one's life that can be a reason for others to withhold the respect for them. Nothing in their lives. They're not perfect, but I think the qualifying thing here, like the elders, is that there's nothing in their lives that any in the church would withhold that respect because of a certain thing in that elder's, or sorry, deacon's life. It is for this reason, we learned already that it is mentioned first in the qualification of an elder. Because it is an encompassing qualification. Meaning, being blameless means one also excelled in the qualifications which followed. A blameless person means he is also the husband of one wife. He is also sober-minded. He is self-controlled. He is respectable. He is hospitable. He is not a drunkard. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. He treats us in Starbucks, and so on and so forth. Deacons have proven themselves blameless too, like the elders. There's always a place to serve for everyone in the church. But only after some time that one has been serving and along the way has been proven blameless that he should be allowed into the office of the deacon. Testing here connotes time and clarity. Time and clarity. Time is the period given so that things will be clear. And you can think of the word testing, it is always associated with a goldsmith or a silversmith. And they said that a silversmith would have to go through the process over and over again, and then he would look at the silver, look at it. If he could not see his face clearly on the silver, it is not yet pure. He has to do it again. Until the silver is like a mirror where he can see himself clearly. Then that's the time he can say that's pure. Testing is like that. Let the deacons to be tested. Because the outward thing, sometimes it's not yet real in the inward. But time, let give them time as they are tested by the Lord, as they go through difficult times, as they consistently do this over time, then we understand the outward display is consistent with the inward posture of the heart. Right? That the things they do is not just outward anymore, but it is inside because it has been consistently displayed. Right? When one is consistent over a period of time, yung magsiset up ng alas 7 pa rin after 2 years. At hindi yung alas 7 tayo nagsimula after 1 month, alas 9 na dumating. You know. When one is consistent over a period of time, then it might be that what he has been showing is not only to show off, but it is a reflection of the purity and maturity of the heart. For when the heart is mature, it is not only displayed in one areas of life, but in all areas of life. When the heart is mature, the person becomes blameless. Let everyone serve where they are fit. but let alone those who have proven themselves blameless over time to serve in the office of the deacon. Parang sinasabi natin dito, dapat kilalang kilala na po natin yung pagkatao ng lahat na mailagay as deacons. Dito po tayo dapat mag-ingat dahil, to be honest, tentasyon po yung iluklok sa pwesto ang isang tao dahil sa kanyang or dahil sa service niya in the Lord. In fact, yung galing niya sa paggawa ng bagay sometimes is the very thing that covers our eyes of what of the true maturity of the person. I've learned that in the hard way. I've known somebody who served us so well. He served us so well. And then Pastor Jess and I, at the time, we were already looking at this person and we're thinking, is he an elder? Is he a deacon? Eventually, until we learned that he was living in sin. And all this time, he never fails to do his responsibilities. Sometimes yung ginagawa nila for us, for the church, are the very things that keep us to see who they really are as a person. And time would reveal who we really are. So before being admired for their service, before being admired for anyone's service, deacons should be admired for their character. Deacons should be admired for their character. To hone a gift takes time, but more so to hone a character. So we let a person serve until he reaches the point that they are occupied of being able to address needs around them and not on any position, not to mean that they are not aspiring the deaconship, but to be preoccupied of the title is the problem. They have to reach to the point where all they care is to serve because they have understood the meaning of the word deacon. Because then a person understands the office of the deacon, and that is to serve. It tells us that they are ready to be a deacon because they not only understood the work of the deacon, meaning servants, but they are deacons, but they are servants. We can only finish up to this point. Again, we reserve verse 11 because the controversy is there. But it is clear, already clear, even up to this point, that it is not only serving, but who are the ones serving. In the household of God, it is very important that everyone is embodying the gospel of Christ. Everyone is living out the gospel. Yes, let us all be passionate for the ministry of the gospel. But let it be because we all understand the gospel so much that we are living it out in our lives. Which means then, more than giving time to grow in our gifts, sometimes we invest in our gifts. You know, ang dami ko nang nasayang na pera, hindi naman sayang. Because of honing the gifts. Because of growing. Pag-uwi ko, kagabi, sabi ni Malu, may bit-bit akong dalawang, sabi niya, ano na naman yan? Ito na yung sabi ko sa'yo These are books. And books are quite expensive. We invest. We invest money. We invest time to hone our gifts. But if Christ-likeness is more important than giftedness, but shouldn't we invest more time when it comes to our Christ-likeness? Let us give time to grow in our Christ-likeness because the workers of the gospel should be better known for for their Christ-likeness than their giftedness. The workers of the gospel should be better known for their Christ-likeness than their giftedness. I will find it so unfortunate when I'll be known as just preacher and not for the godliness that I live. And it should be true to you, should be true to us. We have to be serious in becoming servants.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.